Monday, November 16, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 1:00. Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30 p.m.
All right, ready? All right, Tony and Kevin, if you have anything you want to chime in about, feel free to, and we'll go from there.
No, ready, but, all right, thank you, Marty.
You bet. We'll start with Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review for all citizens in attendance. Before we get started, I'd like to welcome Troy Lonsby, who was recently elected to be on this board after the first of the year. And Bob's here also. Bob's been involved in a lot of these processes. So I'm really glad to see you here, Troy, and be up to speed by the time you take off running. So if you have any questions about anything, feel free to holler. We'll start with our tabled item, which is it? Go ahead.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Okay, we'll start with our tabled item, which is Resolution 20C-005. It's the moratorium on wind energy, or the decision if we're going to do that or not. We know that we're waiting on some regulations from planning and zoning. I have not seen those yet. I don't believe they're probably here. So at this time, I would recommend that we go ahead and continue a table until we get our information for planning and zoning.
We need it. We don't need a motion or anything, do we?
No, no, take it from
me. Now would be the time for public comment. So anybody who has any public comment that's not on today's agenda, if you want to comment about anything that's not on today's agenda, now would be the time to come forward and do that. All right, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from November 2nd, 2020. Approval of accounts payable. I did come in early this morning and did run through all of the accounts payable. Everything appeared to be in order at this time. And then approval of official reports, the clerk's report, the register of deeds, and the clerk of district courts, which have also been reviewed. So those would be the consent agenda items.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items A, B, and C.
I'll second it.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. New business, board to approve payroll claims from November 1st through November 14th. Again, I came in earlier this morning. Reviewed all the payroll claims. Everything appears to be in order.
I'll make a motion to approve the payroll claims.
Second it.
Kevin?
All abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
All right, we're going to have a public hearing regarding the abandonment of 240th Street. County Road, running east and west, O Avenue and Odell Avenue to east half, one half, section 18 and 17, township 27N, range 7E, in Dakota County, Nebraska. It's the project that we've been working on for a while here.
This strip right here, I'll put the layer on. That's not the thing. I need the basement.
I did have a phone call from Doug Huggenberger this morning, just wanting to make sure that he would have access to his with this, and I ran it by Fred. He doesn't seem to think there being any type of an issue with that. He just wanted to double check.
Is that dam, or that project started yet, that dam? I couldn't remember.
It's...
No.
Why don't you step up here and just...
Dr. Ozzie, Captain.
You bet, I know.
The board just approved last week on Thursday night to accept the bid from the contractor, which will be Devon Assist Construction. And we have the notice of award sent to the contractor just today. So after, obviously it's going to depend on whether we can close the road or not, but then we'll do pre-construction meeting and get the notice.
Where's the contractor out of?
Laurel.
Okay.
So he's a local, pretty local.
What was the contractor's name?
Detlefson Construction. It's Detlefson.
It's pretty good.
Detlefson?
Spelled it.
Well,
I couldn't have spelled it, no way.
So no, it didn't have a hearing for, against.
Done quite a bit of smaller jobs.
Invite all comments, and then the next meeting is when you approve.
Yep.
Take action.
Is there anybody who would like to come forward and make any comments with regard to the hearing on closing that portion of the road for the project that we've just spoken about? Okay, we'll go ahead and close the hearing then.
Let them know that next.
Yeah. At our next meeting, we'll go ahead and do the final on that. So we'll do that then. Okay.
Should we discuss what you wish to do, as in adjoining landowners take? I guess I should know what my resolution's going to say.
So as the road's closed, does that? To the center of the road, go back to the previous
correct.
Landowners?
Yeah, correct. If there's any anybody that doesn't like whatever, then it'll be surveyed at the landowner's cost if they can't figure out. Otherwise, it's just the center of existing road. And
all right.
Happy old might have had it already surveyed by now.
I don't think it would. No, not that.
So you've only gotten one call and
No, it was just this morning, and he just wanted to, just a clarification to make sure you still had access.
Okay.
I had not received anything negative on it at all.
I haven't gotten any calls, so I.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I spoke to Doug as well just a little while ago, and same concerns that you had come up, Marty.
Okay. Yep.
That's the only one that I've spoken to.
All right, very good. So we'll go ahead and move that forward to next week's meeting, and we'll go from there.
Anderson, did he want to talk at all? Anderson Farms is here.
I know.
Okay, no.
Okay. Bryce, did you have any input on that?
None whatsoever.
Okay. All right, we'll go ahead at this time and open grader bids.
First one's from Murphy Tractor, John Deere.
All
First one is 2020 John Deere 672 GP. The purchase price is $331,385.
Is it with or without a trade-in?
With a trade-in.
Is with a trade-in?
Less trade-in is $42,000, so the purchase price would be $385.
Say that again, Fred.
$289,000, Tony.
Okay, bottom line.
That's it. That's with a $42,000 trade-in.
Right.
You bet.
385.
That's for a 672. I also asked for a lease price, and their lease price is the same. Ends up with $289,385 for a lease price. The second machine is a 2020 John Deere 772 GP. The first one was rated at 255 horse. This one's rated at 275. The purchase price is $351,650. The trade-in is the same at $42,000, which gives you a purchase price of $309,650. And the lease price is the same. Delivery date on both machines is February 16th of next year. Any questions on John Deere?
The lease price is for how many years? So how did the lease work? I don't remember.
What?
Explain the lease.
You can split it up for a 5 years or 3 years, whatever. I guess honestly, just pricing them out, I would buy it. Honestly, you can. I don't know if you guys lease pickups, but whenever you lease one, you don't ever get any equity. Is my thought. Our interest rates are very good. That's why ours is the same whether you lease it or buy it, I guess. So most people spread a lease out 5 years. I did one at Cedar County, and that's how they did theirs, so.
Okay, no, thank you, I understand, thank you.
I mean, and there is leases where you could turn it back. I mean, you could lease it for 3 years and turn it back to us, but I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't recommend that. You can do that if you want to, but I guess we just did it to buy out the lease is how we priced it.
Yeah, because when we buy some lease and equipment here, you know, that kind of money, we'll sometimes, I do remember that I did that once, you know, and the thing is that you have a balloon payment, you know, they use so much, you either keep the machine or they wait from you. So, no, that's fine, Fred.
Yep.
Thank you. I understand.
Yep.
So basically, you pay off the loan or you pay off. Pay a lease.
Yeah, so it's
right.
Any more questions?
I don't think so on that.
Okay, we'll move on to Ziegler, Caterpillar.
I
They have a cat, and they got the make of the engine, but they do not show that if it's a 140 or a 12. And I only see the one bid for them. Okay. But their initial purchase price is $351,964. Less trade-in is $71,000 for the trade-in, and their purchase price is $280,964.
But do we know for what machine, Fred?
It says a cat, it says make of engine cat C9.3, but it does not tell me the year, make, and model of the motor grader on the bid form, so I'm a little confused.
Does it say horsepower of it?
Horsepower is 250 plus. That's our bid form. It just gives me a make of an engine. I could look it up in theirs.
That's in both of theirs, though.
Pardon?
That engine's in both of them. I mean, our engine's the same, too. It's just, so.
The representative from Ziegler did not. He gave me a call and told me he wouldn't be able to make the meeting today.
So that machine will cost, if they take the trade-in, it's going to cost how many dollars, whatever the machine is?
$280,964.
$280,964. And their lease price was $3,763 monthly, or $45,000 annual. Delivery dates. $60.
What are we trading in January?
The old grader. Which grader are we trading in, Fred, if we do this?
We are trading in a 2009 140M. Right around 14,000 hours.
Fred, what's wrong with the trade-in? Is that pretty bad shape, or?
He wants to know what kind of shape the trade-in's in, Fred.
14,000 hours.
14,000?
Yeah, 14,000 hours.
What's the advantage to even leasing one?
What's that?
What is the advantage of leasing a machine?
I was just instructed to find out
what
our options were with purchase or a lease. As you can see, not much.
I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the job here if this would be the time. I'm Bullet Badette with Murphy Tractor. Just to give you a little background, I was at Thurston County. I was Fred's job at Thurston County for a while, so I got tired of farmers complaining, so I took this job. But no, anyway, it's a thankless job, and I know your guys' is too. I was on the board for 8 years before I took that job. We had all cats down there, I'm not going to lie. I bought six of them in a row. I bought six M's. We got along fairly good with them. We bought a couple John Deere's. The guys really liked them. They liked the power. And I know Fred ran one when he was over in the Emerson shop. I remember that years ago. But make a long story short, the John Deere's like the cooling packages. None of our coolers are stacked on the side. You guys that have trucks or equipment, you know that the stuff gets in between the air conditioner and the radiator, and that causes heat. None of our coolers are stacked. We have automatic reversing fan, which I think Cat does too now. We was the first ones to have it. John Deere built the first articulated motor grader. I mean, they've been around a long time. And to me, the thing I see that's most important to them, I mean, I could go on and answer you a lot of questions here, but, and they come out with a premium circle. The price of ours includes a premium circle. Anybody that's been around the motor graders, they have them shoes and shims on the circle, and they get wore out, your machine gets a little slop in there. This is something that new that Deere just came out with. Well, they tested them for 10,000 hours before we put them on the for sale. But they're just a swing bearing off of an excavator, like a 350 excavator, big one. I mean, them things take a pounding all day, and that's what we have now. That's all sealed up. You grease it every 500 hours. That's the only maintenance on it. And we included that in ours today, wrong or right. We did talk to Fred a little bit about it. I just sold one out to Knox County to Kevin Barda. They got one. They don't have it yet, but that's really a nice feature that they have, because as you guys know, I'm not going to say that causes washboard, because I really don't think it does, but that keeps your circle and everything tight in there, so there's no vibration or no nothing in there. And lastly, to me, the way our country is, the state that it's in, our motor graders are made in Eastern Iowa. They're made in America. Cats are made in Brazil. They never used to be made in Brazil. Everybody thinks they're made in Illinois or Arkansas. That's not true. I went to the Arkansas plant about 10 years ago. That was true. They were made down there. But they're all made in Brazil right now. And to me, that weighs a little bit of something. I know we're a little bit higher, but I guess that's up for you guys to decide. And as far as the 672 and the 772, we've bid them both, because the 672 does meet your specs. That's our smaller one. It has 255 horse. And blade in the road, you can probably get by with 150 horse. But when you guys put a V plow on there and a snow wing, like I know you guys do, just like our county does, nobody ever said they had too much power then. I mean, so that's when it takes the power. So, and like our filters on the John Deere, they're all on one side. I have some pictures, but I don't know how good you guys wanted to go into it. All of our filters to service it are on one side of the machine, where the competitor, some's on the left, some's on the right, and some's underneath. So your specs say you have to have a belly pan, you'll have to take that off every time you change the filter. And we just have a lot of serviceability, I guess, goes a long way too, in my thought. So I don't know, I guess I know everybody wants to think about the price, and I was the same way, but I think you have to see what's the best bang for your buck too. So if you guys have any questions, I'll try to answer them if I can. But I guess that's my spiel on the John Deere. I guess if you have any questions, let me know. So. Thanks.
All right, well, thanks for that information.
Yep.
So, Fred, what Caterpillar quoted, you're not sure?
Well, I would like, before the board makes a decision, I would like to know exactly what piece
machine.
Of equipment that he is.
For sure.
Well, what's that say there?
Don't say anything,
does it, Fred? It just tells the motor, Fred, or Larry.
So it don't say the model at all?
Yeah, as you can see here, it says year, make, model, and horsepower, and make of engine. And ours, I got no information now.
Ours will be a 2021, too, if that's wrong.
They will okay.
Be 2020. It'll be a 2021 by the time it gets in there. And as you guys all know, the whole DPF stuff, everybody has them now. They're all burning deaf. You know, ours has a 10,000-hour assurance on them, which right in the owner's manual of CAT, it says a 5,000, you have to replace that filter. That's about $4,000, so something to think about, I guess.
But before, at least my recommendation, I would like to, before the board makes a decision on either way.
For sure.
So it's public information now. The bids are public information.
The bids won't change. It's just what
just clarification on what.
For clarification, I'm sure it's a 140, but it doesn't say that, so I can't.
Well, it might be. I don't know if you understand, but they may be quoting the lesser price.
Correct.
And then come back.
If it's any lesser than a 140,
and say, well, we need 5,000 or 10,000 more because ours, we were quoting a small model.
Well, I guess it's up to the board what they want to do.
I would recommend that we get clarification on what machine it is.
Can we just call them?
If his clarification isn't clear to what it moves, then you can throw his bid out. If there's nothing in that bid that we don't think is right, that we're getting the right machine.
Right. Is there a phone number that we could call?
I will go out and try and call Truckee right now.
That's the whole bad thing about
Chair, I don't think we need to make a decision today because we don't need to make it tomorrow or the next day. I hope not, you know, I'm hoping, but if we would feel more comfortable with that information, then we don't have it, you know. The road department committee can find out or for themselves, you know, and then the next meeting they can have all the information that we know what, you know, what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to make a quick phone call, and if he can't contact his people right away, we'll go ahead and open the last bid if there's one from Case, and then probably do that.
Whatever you guys want to do.
You bet, Tony. Okay, thank you.
Could be.
There could be.
I kind of doubt it.
I only got two.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, then there won't be.
But I think what Larry was trying to say is we need to know now.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you that. I throw them out, rebid the thing.
I got a question.
You bet.
Why would we throw ours out, though? Mine's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my numbers on the table now. I went through this in Cumming County, and the board said we should throw them out. I said, wait, mine's not wrong. He said, you're right. Throw the one that's wrong out. I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but my bid's right. So, and I already give my numbers out there. So.
Yeah, oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. The county attorney might know more. I know how mine would be in Thurston County, so I guess I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, there's a reason that it's done in the bid process.
Exactly.
And
it's
got to be handled that way.
He said it was in here. He says it is on 20,021,140.
So that's a 12 and a half.
Is what the bid, what the machine will be.
That's like, that's the size of our smaller one, the 672 in our.
$179,000.
Jeep, is that?
Is that
I didn't know they made one that small.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't we have a 250 horse requirement on that?
Yeah, 255 or 250 minimum.
They must not be bidding, must not have read the documents.
Goes up to 255 horse.
It's too bad, Trent. I mean, you know, there is a virus in the country, you know. You don't wear a mask, you know, we're afraid.
So it is rated up to 255 horse all-wheel drive, 255 horse, variable horsepower.
Okay.
So it does meet the specs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So how do you get it from the low horsepower numbers to the higher horse?
Gear ratio. They don't use the horsepower and as much the 250 horse in the lower end. It's all on the upper end.
And your machine the same way?
Yep, they go by gear. They're all variable horsepower.
Yep.
I always told my guys they have the high horsepower in 7 and 8. That's so we can get home by quitting time. My guys did. So, yeah, but yeah, they're all like Fred said. The lower gears, you don't need that horsepower. So.
What do you have right now, Fred? How many of each Cats and how many John Deere's?
5 Cats, 2 John Deere's.
Do you have a recommendation on the machine that you...
We've had good luck with both of them. I guess it comes down to bid price.
Mm-hmm. What's your operator? What's he thinking, Fred? Or does your operator have a preference or not really? You
know, where would that be going to, that machine? What part? What district would that machine go?
That will be going to the Willis area, towards out west, yeah. The northwest part of the county.
And which machine on the John Deere do you think that $20,000 for that 20 horsepower is a difference maker?
Yeah. I like the 772 a little better. I might get a little better trade-in also with the 772.
Well, that circle.
That circle.
Is a 20. To me, that'd be worth 40,000.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Larry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right. Just all over that sealed system. Way to go.
I think Fred made a good comment when he talked about resale, because whenever you guys get done with them, usually they go into the construction world or somewhere, and everybody wants a 772. That's what Roost has, correct, Tony?
That's what we have with the John Deere's now, 770.
The one that Cat bid is the same size as our 672, that 140.
And they didn't bid one similar size?
No, they didn't bid the bigger one, no. Which...
What do you think, Kevin? Tony?
Well, I don't know. Then we have money to buy equipment now. That's what I think. Where do we stand on money? I mean, we got money to spend, that kind of money?
It's in the, there was a grader in the budget.
It's in the budget.
In the budget for this year, yes.
Oh, it's in the budget. Okay, okay. I don't know what you guys think.
How about you, Kevin?
Well, I mean, we had pretty good luck with, I thought, the last grader we bought. And, you know, I don't know. I guess it's more what is going to fit our needs. You know, which motor grader are we preferring, the 7?
Well, I think if they had the druthers, that's what they'd rather have. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I guess just what I'm thinking of is I'd rather have the larger grader just for our winter purposes. But we definitely need it because what are we, a couple rotations behind?
Yeah,
is that right?
The last two rotations we have not, or the last 2 years we haven't purchased a grader.
Well, we couldn't make payroll 2 years ago either.
Yeah, I know. 2 years ago, we couldn't make payroll. We didn't worry about the road grader.
So what's in the budget for this? What have we budgeted for it? Do we know? Do you know what you've budgeted for this?
I budgeted a payment. Okay. I budgeted like a...
Oh, payment.
$40,000.
Yeah. They're all paid over time, mm-hmm. Part of it.
Okay.
So if we purchase it, it'll be a lease purchase.
Okay. It will be?
Yes. No, it won't be a lease.
It'll be a lease, NACO lease purchase.
Oh, yeah. But we'd be making payments on it.
At the end.
Right.
Yeah.
They'll get their money. Okay. We'll make payments.
I get it.
NACO.
I get it.
I like the way you think.
I get it.
So what do you think?
Well, I guess I don't... If there's significant difference in these, I guess I always think you should go with the low bid if you're put it up for bid. But mm-hmm. If there is a quality and differential that the folks that are more knowledgeable than me can justify doing a higher price, then I guess I'd bow out on that.
Larry, if we were buying one, do you think that difference in price is worth it, kind of based on the ring and the other things with regard?
What's the exact difference in price?
About 20. Well. On the same machine, it's $9,000 on the same machine.
So we don't have the
premium circle. Yeah.
We don't have a bid for the larger one than the Cat.
Yeah.
But that's
not a lot of difference by the time you saw the roller bearing or ball bearing turntable in it. I mean, that thing to me would be sealed up like that and running all the dirt constantly in the dust. It's got to be good.
Uh-huh, yeah.
As long as it's greased. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm assuming it's not a permanent lifetime sealed.
Would you say 500
hours?
$500. So you need to keep it greased up. And I mean, the excavators turn constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what they've got, that turret bearing.
They're on turntable.
And constantly they're turning. Whereas motor grader, oh, you maybe just the blade
mm-hmm.
half a dozen times in 5 miles.
Yeah,
I don't. Fred, I know better than anybody.
It's like supposed to be 15% quicker, and it's got 30% more torque too.
I bet it does.
You know, so
yeah, because you don't have those wear blades rubbing wear out.
There's no friction.
So Fred, is it kind of Willis west southwest, or is it everywhere out there? It's fairly hilly.
It's all hills.
Yeah,
it's from the Jackson Cemetery west to the border.
Okay. Yeah.
River's the border, and then you take the 180th, right?
Right. So it would be the North Jackson one?
Not straight north of Jackson, but from Jackson, north of Jackson to the west, all the way to
North Bluff, yeah, North Bluff.
But it doesn't take North Jackson to the river?
No.
No.
Yeah. All right, everything west of that.
Everything west, from the Cemetery Hill or the, whatever they call, I don't even know what that road is to me.
And Hubbard, north of Hubbard, straight west, and then everything north of that.
The hills, more the hills.
And Katz is with the new V-Bog too, correct, Fred?
Correct.
Okay.
So everything that we have, like the V-plow and stuff, that would fit that machine, everything would be fine.
Yep, and the wing and all that stuff, it's all included in that price.
Oh, it's a wing and a plow, a new wing and plow?
Yep.
What's the matter with the old one?
Wings are usually wore out. All of our plows are 40 years older. The last one that we did, we got a new plow with it. Just all the shoes, all the wear. 50 years old, we thought we'd start upgrading plows too. So
I thought that they got along just fine without them. They live out there, that kind of horsepower, jeebus creepers, they shouldn't need a plow on the thing. Plow them on right down.
I guess we did pass it over the last two times. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we purchase a, I would go with the John Deere 772. I know we're having some few issues with the current machine that we're looking at getting rid of. It's got 14,000 hours. I felt a little different about it when I had 10,000 hours and I do it 14,000 hours. So I guess I would, I'd make a motion to buy that. 772. All right, Kevin or Tony, either be interested in the motion?
Yeah, I'll second that. You said the
772.
Yeah.
Yeah, the larger one.
309-650, that one.
Yeah, it winds up 309-650.
That's the same one Matt's got down home.
Yep. Yeah, the same one Matt's driving.
But this
one
here would have the turntable. It's got ball bearing turntable where you don't ever have the wear plates. It has to maintain. To me, it'd be worth $30,000 to me. You never have to mess with it and grease it.
Okay. Larry?
What?
We're going to go ahead and vote on it.
Are you
going to
vote, yes?
Why do I have to be first? Janet's turn.
I don't know anything about these things. I said that at the beginning. I don't know. Deferring to you guys. I would go for the 281.
I double-checked the math, Janet. That's Wald Hill math.
Well, would that leave us enough money to overlay Fiddler Creek or out around the ball fields?
Yes. Everything that's in my budget will be still there.
Yeah, I think you got a big budget, Fred.
Enough for gravel.
Yeah,
even enough for gravel.
So you said...
I suppose.
That's really half a vote.
Janet? I'm going to do the same as Larry, I suppose. I mean, I don't know the difference, but if it truly is...
Marty?
Yes.
The best. Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
All right.
Higher trade value, right?
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
One way looking at it, too, is if we keep that thing at $1,000 or $2.
Take good care of it, Fred.
And I'm probably dependent to take it to Caterpillar. It's going to cost about $40,000.
All right, next we're supposed to have Elizabeth Ramirez from Haven House. But she wasn't able to make it this week. She'll be at our next meeting.
Matter of fact, he said, I talked to him about it. He said he let go too long. He threw a lot of stuff and get real spendy.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we'll go to E.
Look at a new one.
You got to look at it that way, too.
Step up, Governor Engel.
So in 60 days, we'll have our new one.
Earlier, I welcomed Troy as a new commissioner. Pat Engel here was a former commissioner years ago and also state senator. So nice to see you here, Pat.
That's why I wore this hat for you guys.
You bet. Don't worry, be happy.
Just do your job.
All right. we're going to look at the overlay here and try to get
where's
that
it, where's it at? Unquote.
Right here. It's Mellis.
Okay.
I've always called it Mellis Beach my whole life, having grown up there, but I guess it's Crystal Beach. Hmm. What it's actually called? So as you can see, this was originally platted with roads that ran north, south, east, west. If you look at the overlay, you can see that the roads all run diagonal through most of the lots and around there. So originally, I think Charlie Mellis was the first gentleman I ever knew that lived out there, and it was just kind of subdivided after that. So we'll go ahead, Pat, why don't you say your piece, and we'll take a look at what you got there.
Yeah, what do we got? I think Joan there has a map of a smaller map of the area there. And what it is, there's a road between the, behind my property and two other properties. I think that's, what's the name of it, Joan?
Wood Avenue.
Wood Avenue.
Is one request. Everybody has a copy in their packet.
Oh, do they?
This is the, this is that survey that you sent that shows Wood Avenue is here. And then this is West First and this is East First.
So it's between West First and East First.
Right.
And it almost abuts
here it is.
There
is here and here's the map also.
You can find yours.
It abuts the road there on the, that you kept going through. So it's a road that goes nowhere.
And it's never been there.
It's never been there. Never used.
You got buildings.
I don't think
in that
I got
road.
One of those.
You got buildings set up.
Oh, here it is.
That happened to be a trailer. it's there temporarily.
Oh, temporary. Oh.
Yeah. And the neighbor's got a shed on there.
Yeah, the guy's house backyard.
And so it would be this area right here.
And the house on the east side there, if he steps out his back porch. He's sitting on the standing on the road.
Both of them.
So it's a road that just doesn't go any place. I thought we might as well vacate it and put it on. You guys are talking about money. Put it on your tax rolls.
Good thing.
So it'd be just like the previous project we talked about. If it goes forward, then we'd go ahead and it would revert to the landowners, to the center of the road, the current landowners. And I know you wouldn't mind paying a little more taxes, so that'd be nice to get that out of you.
That's my favorite thing every year about this time. And then there's another one there, too, a little piece of the road that goes, I think Joan could show you there,
this
right across.
Right north here. Left?
Yeah.
From here? From here?
North, down.
But it would just go up to...
right there.
Yeah.
Does Wood Avenue jog here? So it's just kind of this whole portion that you want?
Because we've been maintaining it 15 years, and we loved working for the county school without pay. but I thought there's no use to the county.
Yeah.
And just put a little more stuff with it.
So just for the survey or for our words for legal description, it would probably encompass part of this section here. Wouldn't be part of Wood. It would be this little section.
Yeah, whatever wood there, whatever it is, whatever it work out as far as you guys come up with.
So the property owners in the backyard, wouldn't they just consume the whole entire right away, rather than going to the center of it? Because otherwise, it'd still be a stripping or doing nothing.
Larry, is that when you sold the part of the Albanicious Empire here? Did the road go to the owners in the back, or?
I don't know for sure. There's a fence, and that's all I know.
Mm-hmm. And Bart Gotch put that in when that thing had changed hand a few years ago. Bart put that fence in when part of that reverted to...
And we had a survey, and nothing ever said about the fence being in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm. I think that fence is in the right place, because it's not a very old fence. That
right,
was
it's straight, too. It's
yeah,
like
it's a straight fence.
Yeah, there's a fence right behind the tree.
Do you know who does own the other side?
Pardon?
Do you know who owns the other side?
This here? Larry Wood... It would have been part of yours.
The white strip is mine. No, I'm right up against the fence.
But it would revert to this landowner. Do you still own this portion out front?
But if we get tax revenue off of that, I'd rather come off them than me.
Larry probably wants to give me that portion. Don't you
correct?
No, come to think of it, I've sold that. That's an easement, that road is.
Did you sell?
So I don't pay taxes.
Okay, it's an easement. Did Juan Franco buy that portion?
No, that actually would be in Jenkins.
Oh.
I mean, well, I don't know who. Mm-hmm. It's a private easement.
Okay. Back to the shop there and back to that piece of ground back behind.
Yeah,
back behind where Brazan right. has his.
Yeah, there's 40-foot easement in the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It don't matter to me. Now.
Well, Fred will figure it out.
Yeah. Not a road we take care of. So.
Mm-hmm. Fred and I had the same barber. So that's about it as far as what I'd like to have done.
I can see good. That 22.
And, you know, and then
yeah, see who that number belongs.
Then there's a in between the house, down below where between the house. And then I think, see, that is that on one of your maps here, it says road, and then somebody said it was easement.
This road here?
Right. And there used to be a gas line through there. Well, they run the gas line up around the actual road that they use, and so there's nothing in that property anymore. So I don't know whether that's easement or whether that's...
Allen?
Or
Allen.
Or
really,
alley or something.
David,
yeah.
So that's just in between the houses there.
Yeah.
It affects the neighbors more, it doesn't me. I got the houses on one side of it, the garage is on the other side of it. But there's something else that I don't know where to go to find out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I suppose Joan could figure that out for me.
All those years ago, I don't know that they.
But there was a gas line to it, and they changed that about 3 or 4 years ago. So there's nothing going through that piece of that city right there. See right there?
Right here.
Yeah, right here. Yeah.
There used to be a gas line.
Yeah, there was a gas line. There's nothing in there now because they followed the existing trail, I guess I call it, around, and so that's where the gas line is now. So there's nothing in that piece of property.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do there, or what can be done, or if anything. I got to tell you a story, though, if you got just 1 minute.
You bet.
When I was chairman like you were, I had my first grandson. He's about 3 months old, and we're interviewing him. You know, all right, him right now. And before I started the meeting, I said, you guys, you have to listen to something. It took about 10, 15 minutes. And all they said, I hope you never have any more grandchildren, so.
But I know you did.
Oh, yeah.
So, do we just need to start the process like we did on 240, Fred?
Yeah, you need to approve resolutions 29 and 30, and then that directs the highway superintendent to make a study.
Yeah. So, I guess my recommendation, so we go to F, which would be board to approve resolution 20C-029, directing the highway superintendent to study the use being made by public road as Wood Avenue, portion between East First Street and West First Street, Crystal Beach, also known as Mellis Beach, Section 6, Township 28, Range 90. Have you ever heard it referred to as Crystal Beach?
Who?
Crystal Beach. The name of it, I always thought was Mellis Beach, and I lived there my whole life, but it's actually Crystal Beach.
Mellis Beach, all over.
Yeah.
That's the subdivision, legal subdivision.
There used to be a leak out there in cabins and so forth.
You bet.
That's
it was quite a place.
Trails, yeah. Back in the olden times.
I can second that, or do we need both at the same time?
We'll do them individually. We'll go ahead and we'll do them individually.
I'll second that. Mm-hmm.
013 for three.
Yeah.
So Marty made a motion, okay.
Yep.
Janet?
Second. Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
And that takes us to the board to approve resolution 20C-30, directing the highway superintendent to study the use being made to the public road portion of West First Street, where Wood Avenue jogs west, and the portion of Erie Drive, approximately 100 feet, Crystal Beach, a.k.a. also known as Mellis Beach Area, Section 6, Township 8, and Range 90. So Brett, it would not only include the street here, but then this portion up here. I'd make that motion.
Okay, I'll second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Where is this at about?
So as you go home today and you're driving out on Highway 77,
yep,
and you go, before you get to Attica, you can take a left just before those railroad tracks.
Okay.
And there's a big grain elevator set there.
Yep.
It's just to the north of that. It's a little area that's been called Mellis Beach.
Okay. Okay, I'll drive by there.
I've been there 58 years.
I'll drive by there, or I'll go by there today, north of elevator.
And then when you do, you can just get out, take that gravel straight west, and you'll get right on Highway 110.
Okay.
George,
Robert, John, Edward, David. All right. So then that'll take care of us, and we'll go ahead and we'll let you know when we're going to do the next step on it.
Okay, fine. Is there any way you guys could check with, is that an easement or is it a road between the house and the garage? Or, yeah, the picture of it right there.
Yeah. Go ahead. It'd be this. This road right
here.
There's no.
Right there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
there. Yeah.
There's your house.
Yeah, right there. I'm just curious what it is. I don't know, but that's all it was in before. So.
Okay.
So. Okay. Hey, well, thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
You bet. Have a good one.
Save us money.
We're doing our best. All right. Highway Superintendent Road Report.
November 1st through the 14th, 182 hours maintenance, overtime 57 hours, debris removal 11, garbage pickup 5, snow removal 107, gravel haul 591 ton, sign and barricade repairs 37 hours, had one road concern, 200 street for those gravel.
Fred had a call down there at the Pony Express in Homer. He's taking the 500 road, you know, heading Highway 77. That first couple hundred foot there is terrible. All these potholes, you know. Is that going to the county or the, how far?
Past the Pronos last, you know where you, the back exit?
Yeah, yeah.
Right behind.
That fence line the back?
Yes. For some reason that's annexed into the city of Homer. We have tried to help out, you know, we've bladed snow push.
Yeah, I know.
We've even put some material in some potholes to make it better.
That thing's horrible.
Okay.
Did anybody ever talk to the county about maybe a cost share or something with a payment or something?
The city has never said anything, or the county has never brought it up either.
Because the county road, you know, it's a main county road, it's part of the system, the road system.
Yeah.
The county can share in the cost. It says can, it don't say must. Or
yeah, we've done it in Jackson before.
Yeah, in Jackson.
There are thousands of loaded semis come up that road every year.
Yeah, first 200 foot, half
that. That's a huge amount of traffic comes up that
traffic
road.
Coming out of the Pronto there. And,
yeah. Well, I don't know. Just what the cost would be, outweigh the benefits, I would say. The benefits outweigh the cost. Really.
I guess the first thing to do would be, since Homer owns it, to ask them what they feel about share cost or any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anything as far as maintenance. I have never talked to a city councilman from Homer about that particular thing, but I just know it's theirs. But we have put material in it, graded it, and tried to make
it. Yeah,
I
know, but it's next to impossible.
Yeah.
Well, I graded that road there. I mean, you'd have to do it three times a week. You know, it just, because everybody goes, turns and goes into place, and you got traffic going down.
Are you looking for that area?
Going down the above road, you know, and
it's
something
else. City limits, I'm
going to park. Oh, okay. I drove through there. You got to go 5 mile an hour. That's the
track. Here's Flyburg Road.
You know,
right
for
here.
Potholes.
Yeah, Fred.
There's your city limits.
There you can see the city limit, so it definitely runs out past, you know, down through that Pronto parking lot a ways.
I know it's close to that bar, actually. I don't, we had it marked, there used to even be a post there at one time. I don't know if there still is right with the city limits.
They keep moving it back a little bit every year.
So we're by the bonanza now.
All right, thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
All right. Fred's up. Highway superintendent requesting approval for the new deck and abutment replacement on Project Bridge C00223091P, Jackson Northwest. So Tony and Kevin, that would be the Willis Bridge out by the old Willis School.
Yes.
We had originally gotten a bid on it a while back at like $240 for a bridge that would handle truck traffic. Nobody out there is interested in having a bridge that heavy out there. So we're looking to repair that in a way that is still safe to everybody and would handle all local traffic, but not necessarily meet the load limit to semis. So that's what Fred's bringing forth today.
Okay.
So when you say local traffic, it's going to be no farm equipment or semis or anything like that?
What my understanding is, Fred, and correct me if I'm wrong, that once it's repaired, then at that time an engineer will come out and put a weight limit on it. Is that right?
It probably will not change a lot.
Yeah. He said it probably won't.
Some, but I doubt if a loaded semi
still
will load across it.
Yeah, nobody would want that
the,
out there.
Yeah, well, the width will not change, so big farm equipment won't be able to go across it either.
They would put a new abutment on one side.
Correct.
And that abutment will be made in such a way that if down the road it does need to be a stronger bridge, that that portion of the project will already be done.
Okay.
And what's the dollar amount on that, Fred?
$86,696.
So it's $86,000. It's about a third of what we had looked at previously.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, Norfolk Contracting. Yes.
And there's no reason why we need to make it any heavier right now. There's no reason to. I mean, there's no guide codes that would require it to be wider or anything like that.
No, it can stay the way it is right now. It's just that your tonnage will not move. It's 6 ton right now. I'm just guessing. Mm-hmm. It might go up to 10. It might not change. It's only when an engineer in the state of Nebraska get together.
Mm-hmm. And haven't talked to four residents that live on that short portion of the road. If it was rated at 60,000 or if it was rated large enough for a semi to go through, I feel that there would be quite a bit of that traffic that comes off of Highway 20 going to Highway 12 would use that as a shortcut, and people aren't interested in having that live there. And they have a road that takes them less than a half mile longer that, you know, is state highway.
The cost now could go up because of the additional H-pile, $39 a vertical foot.
Because we have it, what, 40 foot? 40 foot is what they estimated on the H-pile?
You mean as far as finding bearing again?
60 foot? 60. If they don't make it, then they have to add something. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would think 60 would be sufficient for a 10-ton bridge.
You still have to find the bearing, though. With this new abutment, you'll want to find bearing to make your just.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make sense to do it if you're not gonna.
No, but you can make it get it at 60. Depends what's down there.
It's what?
You make it get it, and it depends on what's down there, the materials there. I mean, surely ain't going to bedrock.
So no, it's just
clay, friction.
Yeah, if you're going to fix it, you just as well go to what you're ever going to need to go to the next step, whether you do it or you don't.
Possibly, yeah. But I don't see us ever going to 80,000 on it, are we? for whatever, don't make a difference, could go up cost.
So do you think, based on that, Larry, or?
Well, I think it's probably all right, it's just that they, whatever. Yeah, I think it needs to be done.
Yeah, I do too.
I just think, I mean, I.
And compared to what we're looking at, I think that's a lot friendlier bid than we were looking at initially.
For sure.
So, I guess I would make a motion that we accept that price from Norfolk Contracting and go forward with the bridge that we were discussing.
Second question.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
And who determines on whether there's enough resistance to get the bearing? Who makes that judgment?
Oh, okay.
Engineer?
Oh.
What bearing you gotta hit?
Yeah.
I'm sure the state sets the guidelines or what, or I'm sure.
I know, but I mean, how do you know what they're really doing?
I mean, it's on every bridge, whether it's just a common factor of the bearing that you have to reach.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it is a standard thing. I couldn't even tell if it changes from state to state.
What's to say the contractor would get that bearing that's required?
Did he does get it right?
Yeah, who's the inspector?
I've always assumed the engineer that did the bridge inspects it. That way he's got bearing, he's got proof that he has hit bearing.
You're about got to get there to see it though, don't you?
Yeah, well, either that or there's got to be a way that you can prove that you have reached it, brother.
I don't know, when I drove the family on the bridge that we built, I mean, it just drove like we knew, I mean, it had to be, and that was it. We didn't have an inspector.
Did you?
Well, we couldn't get them to go no further, so we knew we had a good. Well, the 2,000-pound hammer, a 10-foot drop.
Did you have a gauge and everything on yours?
No. You didn't need that, but it's time to stop.
The way I take it, Larry, that they have a meter, a gauge, or whatever you want to call it, so when they reach bearings and it's stamped and approved, you know, with the date, time, and all that. That's the way I was always under. The engineers told me that.
Could be, I guess. Anyway, I probably take pictures of it on a cell phone and send it to the engineer.
He probably got it. I don't know.
Well, thanks, Fred. All right, next we're going to approve procedure to fill vacancy in the office of the county treasurer and the county clerk. This last week, or the clerk of district court, yeah. No, sorry, Joan. But the clerk of district court, unfortunately, Phyllis did pass away here this last week, so we did lose our clerk of district court. Bob will be filling a position in the Board of Commissioners after the first of the year. Last week we appointed an assessor. I mean, there are times where nobody changes for 12 years, and now we have three of them in a two-week period. So it's something that we need to look at on how we want to move forward on the two vacancies that we have. Yeah. So,
unless he resigns.
Mm-hmm. Which won't happen until the day it takes him. Can you still look into it? Can you still take applications?
How you like? I wouldn't until you've gotten a resignation or. Yeah.
That would make it a lot tougher if you start looking for somebody after he's gone.
I mean, technically, there's no opening right now. Just to help.
Mm-hmm.
Technically. Because he's still treasurer.
So. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to figure out, we're just discussing a little bit on with Bob's position, since he's still currently in that position, what is the way you go about looking for somebody to replace him, though he still holds the position as county treasurer, so that's something that we'll probably...
So we have to have a resignation in writing, and then we can start...
I mean, even though we know that there's going to be an opening, can you take applications for a position that is going to be opening, but...
Because... The consideration there would be signing of the checks.
So we don't want.
I mean, that person would have to be aboard immediately, and if you start looking for that person at on the day that Bob's last day, then you're going to have some time looking for that person and not have somebody in position to do that. So I don't know.
Can they be positions be posted for either one of these, or are they appointed?
District Court, absolutely. You've it's already a weekend, so normally about 45 days. You've got till 12/24. Well, Bob's still treasurer, so.
So in
the. He can't fill it, but
he's got 45 days too.
You don't even want to go there. That's fine.
Yes, you know what's going to be, I suppose. You're going to have to make an appointment, so.
How do those appointments take place? Do we seek people?
Recommended normally. Normally recommends that you do take applications. That's always the recommendation. That's not saying you have to. That's their recommended.
But we can appoint or.
Or take applications. Yeah.
And you can take applications and appoint from that, or however you want to do it.
What do you think with the other one? That's the question.
I mean, since you know he's going to be gone, I suppose, unless he resigns before that.
You know, if we would gather a pool of, possible candidates, even though that position is still filled, that's the question, if that's an issue. Because we would be asking for applications for a job that's still filled, and just don't know if that's something that we can do or how that should be handled. Kind of a unique situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, statutorily, is there anything wrong with?
I don't see why you can't take applications. It's just saying his resignation isn't in effect until you've got.
You can't really fill it.
But you still
can't fill it.
You can't fill it, but I think we could take applications.
I would think so.
So Larry, Tony, Kevin, we're kind of trying to decide if we should take applications for these positions, and Bob's is kind of a little more complicated, so that's kind of, we're just discussing that. So you guys go ahead and feel free to throw anything out there. We have someone coming to the podium right now, so go ahead.
I'm Kathy Wilson. Yep. I'm the deputy clerk. Up there, and I would like to apply for that position. I can give you a little background of what I've done. I have an office administrative degree since 2011. I've been in the retail business for well over 30 years and managed to 30 employees and about $2.8 million company. I've worked in the district court for almost 10 years now. I've been the deputy clerk for 2 years. This past year, Phyllis has been training me for her position because she was planning on retiring at the end of this year. I've been working and doing her position for the last 3 months, and I'm able to write checks and all that. And I think just knowing the job, to find somebody that's more qualified would be a little bit difficult for you to do, for somebody just to step in and take over like that. So I just wanted to put that out there, let you know my experience and what I've done there.
We're good. Thank you. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
I know there has been some interest in both positions. I've heard from people, and others have also, and wanting to know how that position is going to be filled. So I think, what's your feeling on it?
Well, can we, I mean, we know we have some vacancies. Do we need to give public notice and say we're accepting applications for these, or accepting indications of interest? I don't know what the right verbiage is, but I think we need to be moving forward with a plan to have people in place. I don't know.
I just want to add, too, that it's difficult because we are short people right now to keep things going and to keep everybody happy within the area. It makes it very difficult when there's just the two people, one being newer, she's only been there a year. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on other people. So we need to keep things moving. Court doesn't ever stop. We're always getting filings. It's an area that needs constant attention.
And it is, they're a person short now, for sure. And it's not like you can just hire anybody to come in at speed.
You've got to train them as well. And, you know, it takes a lot to, a lot of time to learn all those things the correct way. Yeah. And the procedures change constantly. So.
I guess I'm thinking, does the deputy always want to, I mean, I guess I don't know what the guidelines are. Do they would they want to move into an elected position? Because that would basically put them in an elected position for the next go-round.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So whoever we wind up appointing in a position will
have to run in two years. If you're
It does.
If you want to be an elected official or if you want to be an employee of the county. I mean, that's why I think.
So I guess our decision today would be whether we want to make appointments or we want to accept applications.
I guess my opinion would be to accept applications. I think just it's our due diligence to maybe reach out and take applications. That's my opinion.
I would say that might be a good idea as well, just because then you have a pool that you know is interested and know has the 2 year. It's a 2 year appointment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So is that your motion?
Yes.
And I'll second that.
And that's on the clerk of district board only.
No, I think we go ahead and go. I think we go ahead and go forward on both. Advertise for both positions, and we won't be replacing Bob until he resigns, and we would have 40 days after he does resign. But I think if you have some candidates available,
rolling.
I think to be ahead of it would be good.
Yeah, that's what I would say. That would be a good way to do it.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Bob.
You might want to set a end date for applications.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you want to give it?
2 weeks.
You probably have to post it for at least
2 weeks.
At least 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
So you can interview in December, and
you can put someone for Phyllis.
It would have to be the 14th, or on the 14th, or call a special meeting.
Yep. Because you want to get Phyllis's before the 24th.
The 24th of November.
December.
Four or five days. Yep. So I'd say do it for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So
advertise for 2 weeks.
Advertise for 2 weeks. It takes us to the 30th.
And then, what's your deadline for apps? The 4th.
The 4th.
So
maybe the
4th.
And then we could interview the week of the 7th.
Okay. Deadline 12/4. Appoint at least the clerk of district court on 12/14.
Yep. 12/14.
Okay. Roll call, Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
Tony?
Stay.
All right. Approve resolution 20C-031 for the chair to sign certification of highway superintendent for determining incentive payment for calendar year 2020. that's a thing that we do every year, and
incentive for the county.
You're certifying that Fred was our highway superintendent.
Okay.
It's not a procedure that we do every year. No,
every yeah. year, every year. Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to continue that high superintendent we got. I mean, my motion.
I second that.
Okay, so it's all of the planning stuff.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
And that takes us to the sheriff.
Hi there. Good afternoon, folks.
Nice to see you.
Hi there.
Thanks for sitting through.
For the month of October, we had 73 county, federal 37, juveniles 0.03, total in-houses 110. 2020 calendar average per day was 58 county, 35 federal, 0.11 juveniles, and 93 in-house. 2021 fiscal average inmates per day, 61 county, 37 federal, 0.008 juveniles, and 98 in-house. Month of October, we brought in 73,905 from the marshals, 1,926 from ICE, Omaha marshals, South Dakota marshals was $65. So October federal totals was 75,897. Fiscal marshals so far is 294,572. ICE 8,000. Fiscal for Omaha and South Dakota Marshal Services, 260, and federal would be all 302,833. 2020 calendar federal is 720. So far this year, we brought 720,833. October contracts was zero. Fiscal county contracts, 4,000. August phone and commissary commission was 11,460. That's just for the month of August.
That's
doing
good.
Pretty
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good.
Cost per inmate per day for last month was $54.62. So that's dropped almost in half since July. Mm-hmm. Jail spent $189,483 for the month of October. We're at 32% of our yearly budget. We're 1% under budget so far for the fiscal year. It was at 34% of the total estimated yearly budget for October. We spent $27,814 less than allotted for October, which is 12.8% under budget for the month. October bookings were, Sheriff's Office was 24, PD was 33, State Patrol 10, self or was 22, feds 5, and others 4 for a total of 98. And 47 of those are from Dakota County, 17 of those from other Nebraska counties, 19 of those were from Sioux City, other areas in Iowa was 8, and other states 6, and homeless 1 for a total of 98.
Nice. Okay. Looks like our local population continues to bump up a little bit, so eventually we'll probably get a
sense. So as of today, the marshals had to remove 10, because we're out of room.
Yeah.
Out of room.
Yeah.
So that number is going to greatly drop on that revenue.
Yeah.
But I did talk to a phone call from DC this morning, the gal that does all the federal marshals inspections, and I'm thinking they're going to just give us the money to finish the jail. She said we haven't done this for so many years. But the way she talked this morning is this is something that they're so desperate in the Omaha district, in the Sioux City district. Brandon has no place to take his inmates.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working, trying to get that paid for and built without any of our taxpayer money being involved. And that's 106 beds that'll be full of nothing but federal inmates. So that'll be revenue that we'll continue to give. So after that call this morning and last week talking to the architect, I don't know, it's looking a lot better every day.
Yeah. Well, thanks for all the legwork you're doing on it.
Yeah, and, right. When it comes to something concrete, you guys will know, and mm-hmm. depending on what the feds decide to do, if they want to enter a contract, I'll bring it and we'll discuss it and let them review it. But man, if we can secure 100 and some beds for feds out here for another 10 years, I think that would be a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And that would leave us the whole jail we have now for just us.
For your own.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Perfect.
Thank you, folks.
Very good. Thanks, Sheriff. All right, we're going to go to F, approved chair to sign letter with Mid-American Group Resources and termination with Three River Benefit, Inc. as group resource plan administrator for the county health insurance. So it's just we've changed third-party administrators, trying to get a little better deal on our health insurance for the county. So we'll go ahead and terminate with Three Rivers, and our new group will take over, and we'll hopefully have better returns than we've had, because health insurance over the last 4 years has gone up over 60%.
I'll make a motion to have our chair sign the transition letters to Mid-American and Group Resources.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Commissioner committee reports. Anybody have anything? Most everything's been shut down, but I haven't had anything.
Yeah.
Mail or emergency business?
We had two pieces of mail in your packets. We got a letter from Rod and Sam Allen thanking us for the work done on Weigel Creek. And then you got a letter stating that the jail will have their inspection on December 7th.
I did run into two people that live out on Ponderosa, you just swore it was Christmas. They were really tickled to have that. If you drove around the hard surface roads that the county has, I would say without doubt, Ponderosa was the worst piece of road we had. And when that was originally done in the Tompkins area, the N2 homes on that to the north never had blacktop. So with the new overlay, we also added that portion of blacktop all the way back to service those two homes. So that's a very nice addition to the...
The thing about it was, too, it is out there 3 to 4 times a year patching potholes.
Yeah.
Which is wasting time.
And we also paid, I signed on accounts, but the old Sawmill Road, and I don't know if all of you have been on that,
yeah,
but they did a great job on that road. Harrison did a nice job on that road. And I do think that over the next 10 years from now, I think you're going to see a lot of development in that area. It's such a nice road, so close to town, that I think you're going to see some stuff moving in there.
Nice.
All right, so we're going to adjourn and we'll go to Board of Equalization. Kevin, do you want Janet to handle that since she's got the papers in front of her?
Yeah, I think that'd probably be the best way to handle it.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Chair, I need to go, so I will stay for the Board of Equalization. Sorry about that, but you guys can handle it.
All right, Tony. Okay. Thank you so much for your input.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
you
Tony.
Got, thank you,
Tony. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tony.
Be safe.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, let's see, time is 2:30, I'll call the meeting of the Board of Equalization to order. We have to do the Pledge of Allegiance for this, did you know?
No.
We already did.
So. Okay, roll call for Board of Equalization, please.
Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Yes, here.
Janet?
Yep.
Martin?
Yep.
Tony is absent.
Okay, on the consent agenda today, I am. Oh, yeah. I will make a motion to excuse Tony from the Board of Equalization.
I second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, the first item is a consent agenda. At this point, it looks like all we have on the consent agenda is approval of the minutes from the October 19th meeting, which is our last meeting. I can make a motion to approve those.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin? Larry?
Yes.
Okay, under new business, it looks like it's the Christie show today.
Oh, yeah.
Christie, item number one, Christie requesting board approval of tax list corrections. And I think, is it that one sheet we have here?
Yeah, okay. There's two of them.
Okay,
there's one on the back also.
Oh, there's two?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead and tell us which one you want to start with.
The first one would be, we'll go with Gary Ogden. He had a house in La Mesa, I do believe. The full value got pushed out for 2020, and it should only have been a land value as of January 1. So there's no taxes to correct. It's just a value change of the house back to a land value. And that would be the same for the other one, the Manuel and Marilena Curas. It's on the Mesa also. And that was the same way. It was a Gary Ogden house, but he sold it. And the value got pushed out before it should have. So there's no taxes to correct because it's a 2020 value, and those taxes aren't out yet.
So this is a process, house in process being built?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So there's just land values. It's put back too. So no taxes were collected, just change in the land value.
Okay.
And it was done before the tax wall response, so we're good.
And both of the owners have been are aware of these?
Well, Gary got notice, and he never said anything until, of course, when they went to be sold. Mm-hmm. So I just went ahead and corrected it for the state back to a land value.
Okay. Well, I can make a motion that we accept the corrected values for, back to land values for these two lots.
I'd second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Okay, and item number B, Christy, is a...
The contracts for...
Contracts. Looks like all the rest of them are contracts, aren't they?
Yep, contract for all of our contract employees. And Kim has had a chance to look at them, so...
They're all independent contractors, and this is the standard deal with them, you bet.
And this one had Sam's name on it, but they're all the same, right?
Terry, Steve, and Jeff.
Okay.
I copied the first two pages for you and put their names on.
I see.
Their scope of work and their costs, and then the rest of the contract you got in your email, and it's all the same.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing that would be different is Sam gets a little higher because he's licensed compared to the rest of them.
Okay. But they all have the same.
Yeah, same basic
hourly
contract.
Rate.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It is similar to what we had last year?
I do believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, it is. Okay.
It's the same.
Same price.
Just the price. Yep.
Okay. So do we need to do these separately?
They're on the agenda separately.
Okay. So, item number B, Sam, Innovative Appraisal Service. And this is the same rates as they charge us last.
Sam's is actually more. He hadn't had a raise in like 5 years, so we did update his rate.
Okay.
I'm just back of that.
And he is a big help. Yeah.
Which one is the one that just has some certain licenses? Is that Sam?
Oh, yeah. Sam does it. Yeah, he's a registered appraiser.
Okay. All right. Well, I can make a motion to approve item B, Innovative Appraisal Contract, Service Contract.
I'd second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Okay, item C is the contract with JAG?
Yeah.
Okay, JAG, JAG Quality Solutions with Dale Curry. And this one is the same as last year, correct?
Well, this is new. This is Jeff.
Oh, this is Jeff.
Is he reputable?
No, it's okay. Okay.
This is Jeff, okay.
Yep.
Is there anything special we need to do in this case since he kind of has a connection? I mean, do we need to... I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think there's any conflict or anything
like that. Any conflict of interest or anything?
No.
And we have the option to choose whichever one depending on what type of
Yeah, and that, it's, yeah, they're compensated out for different things.
Okay. All right. I'll make a motion for the contract with JAG.
I'd second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Item number D is the contract for EWDS, which is Steve Muff. And these are the same rates that we've used him before, and these are the same rates?
Yeah, they're current, yeah. Okay. Yes. The rates may have been updated, but we've had them for a while.
Yep.
They just use company names.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve that contract.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
And then item number E, contract for appraisal services from, let's see, BRALDA, Bralda?
Bralda.
Yes. Terry Muff, who is someone we've used before at similar rates, okay. Yes.
It looks like his rates are cheaper than the others.
Because they're not licensed, and they only do certain things. They don't do as much as Sam and Jeff. They're just going to go out and look at property and bring the stuff back in.
Measure it.
Whatever we need to, yeah. They're going to be strictly South Sioux now. They're not going to go out in the county. We're going to do something else for that.
Oh.
Ourselves.
Good.
So you can't use them guys as a teacher.
We can, yeah. And if we have a different rate, if we do need to send them out.
Oh.
We're going to try to keep them strictly South Sioux, since they know South Sioux.
So if they got to leave town, then they charge more?
It just depends on what they have to go do.
Oh.
If it's a building permit, it's a different price. If it's just a general review, it's a different price. That's the way it's always been.
Oh.
But they don't charge us for their vehicles. They don't charge us mileage or anything.
Oh, really?
No.
Well, that's better than doing it ourselves.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm. But we can do it ourselves.
We can, and we do.
Okay.
If somebody wants us to come out, we will come out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've seen you out there before.
Once in a while.
People hate to see you come.
Oh, they do.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear about it all the time.
Did we make a motion on the last one?
Oh, I didn't? Okay. Do you want me to make a motion? I'll make a motion on the approval of contract with Bralda, Terry Muff, for the assessor's office.
Okay.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. All right, that's the new business items. Four contracts, correct, Christy?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Any mail or emergency business? Public comment on any of the Board of Equalization items? Okay, well, by golly, 2:40.
Right. Hey, Christy, when do we do our first flyover?
Adjourned.
It's spring.
This spring sometime?
Yep.
That's going to be really interesting.
Yep, it will.
We entered
those guys out for standard, if they're all out right now.
Uh-huh.
And they're fine.